It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. The new iPad 2 was announced Wednesday. As expected, lighter, thinner, cameras on front and back. A few surprises. It ships March 11th, earlier than anyone thought it would, and it has a neat case that uses magnets. Magnets. Here was another surprise for me. No one brought up the phone. Remember for the first iPad, that was the thing. Why can't you use it as a phone? I guess people finally realized they didn't want to make calls while holding their heads against a plank. From Apple to Google, which has pulled the plug on dozens of apps that were loaded with malware. David Campbell is with the security company Electric Alchemy. He says crooked apps like these take several forms.
When I go to the market and I say I want to install this app, it says, well, this app wants these permissions. And the average user will just click, okay, let's get on with it. And that's one flavor of sort of malicious app. Another is what I would call straight up malware. And these are apps that actually leverage exploits on the device to completely root the device. So root means gain administrator or super user access to the device. And at that point, the phone can join a botnet, basically speak to a command and control server, and become a zombie, controlled no longer by the user, but by the botnet controller.
So then what does that mean for the things that I'm still doing on the phone, like if I'm doing banking, if I'm sending messages or emails or making calls?
Once root access has been achieved by an attacker on your phone, anything that you do on that phone, like banking or making phone calls or anything like that, is no longer trusted. Those transactions are then subject to monitoring or manipulation by the malicious party that's compromised your phone.
It's your phone, but you don't control it anymore. Kevin Mahaffey is with security company Lookout. He's been tracking this latest batch of bad apps.
What we found so far was that there were three different developer names that these applications were listed under. There were approximately 55 applications out in the wild.
How would a regular user know if this was happening on their own device?
It's somewhat difficult to tell. Our company, Lookout, we produce an application that allows people to scan their device for instances of malware. But in my opinion, there's also no substitute for people acting responsibly. And when you choose to download application, look at the developer. Is it a reputable developer or not? Look at the permissions that an application can access if you're using Android.
And then what should people do if something is amiss on their phone?
If you download an application that you think is suspicious, for example, because it accesses more data than you think it should, you can simply remove the application. And in many cases, that will work if the application does not use the root exploit. However, if an application has exploited the phone, you may need to use a removal tool such as Lookout, or you may need to reset your phone to remove the malware using the factory reset functionality.
The Android app system relies on users reporting infected apps. Apple, on the other hand, inspects apps before posting them to its store. So, David Campbell, which is safer?
My inclination is to say that the Android ecosystem is likely to become more secure over time.
More secure than Apple's?
Yes. And my reasoning behind that is that Android apps, by their nature, are Java applications, which are easier to inspect for malicious content than Apple iOS applications.
So that's where you think it's going. Is there a safer platform right now?
Ooh, that's a very difficult question. Right now, for an average user, the iPhone platform is probably a safer haven. But I think in the long run, we are going to see more flexibility. We're going to see better prevention tools and better detection tools emerging on the Android platform.
David says the biggest thing to keep in mind is to be just as vigilant about security on your smartphone as you would be on your computer, because your smartphone is, after all, a computer. I follow a lot of journalists on Twitter and a lot of comedians, so I have a front row seat to concurrent implosions happening in Libya and Charlie Sheen. Sheen joined Twitter a couple days ago and has already attracted something like a million followers and counting. Between Sheen and Muammar Gaddafi, it seems like Twitter has become a technology for updates on people with a tenuous grasp on reality as their empires crumble. It's breaking news in real time from the cusp of something. But with Sheen and Gaddafi, I'm never sure of what. History? Tragedy? Hubris? I guess with Twitter, with all modern technology, you get the instant information, but you gotta fill in the context yourself. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.